This episode of the Android Central podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10 at checkout.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It is episode number 237 for Friday, May 22nd. Happy Memorial Day weekend to those of us here in the States. I think Canada was... Or Canadians were trying to tell me something about Victoria Day or Victoria somebody.
Last week.
Oh, last week.
This week.
The Canadians have more holidays than, well, probably just as many as us, but it seems like a lot more. They could be making it up, because I have absolutely no way of checking it. Or, you know, do I care? But anyway, hi, how's it going? I'm Phil Dickinson. This is Android Central. This is our podcast. Again this week, and that's it. Thanks. See you next week. Bye. Jerry Hildenbrand, everybody.
I'll see you next week too.
Yes, you will. You and I. We're going to talk a lot about Google I/O here in a second. You and I will be there. This is our yearly let Jerry off the leash. Well, more or less. Event. You behave yourself, generally.
I do, but, well, there's so many other things going on that I don't have time to misbehave.
You're like a little rock star at Google I/O, actually.
Well, I don't know about all that.
And the best part is, if you're listening to this and you're at Google I/O, find Jerry and say hi to him.
No, please. I love that.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, as much as Jerry kind of hates the attention, it's so much fun watching, you know, like, he gets all humble, and not that he's not otherwise, but it's fun to watch. It really is.
Let's mess with Jerry Day. That's what this podcast is half the time. Phil, you're a bad, bad man.
I did tell you that we sold ads for the back of your wheelchair, right?
Dude, I'll do it. I want balloons and streamers and
probably not the same kind of advertising you want to do, but we'll turn you into like a little NASCAR guy.
And get him like a racing suit that's all geared out too.
That's what I was thinking.
Andrew Martinick, everybody.
And then you guys can have like on the podcast, he's got his hat on, drinking a Gatorade, and, you know.
Well, the couple say Gatorade.
Thanks to the guys over at Gatorade and Snap-on Tools, and, you know, everything's tuned up right.
I vote Andrew as new boss. I like his ideas.
I had these ideas. I just didn't think they were good ones.
But seriously, this year, this is going to be Selfie with Jerry at I/O. If you're at I/O, come find me. Let's make a selfie. I want to put a huge album on Google Plus of all you great people.
We'll have to. Maybe we'll even like do an official contest. I'll think of something to give away. We should totally do that.
I'll have a floppy green hat and a RE camera on a stick.
By the way, our lower third list member here, Russell Holly.
I apparently upset someone at Google.
Oh, that's who's in
someone.
Yeah. Well, actually, just the one person.
Yeah, I don't think that Toolbox Hangout is officially Google, right? That's third party.
No, so it was originally third party, but then they hired the guy.
Oh.
And he works out of their Ireland office. And Toolbox is one of the many products that he has brought officially to Google since he started working. His name escapes me right now. I've met him. I met him at I/O a couple of years ago. He's a super nice guy.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
That's like the one thing I use in Hangouts. Other than, you know, we turn the full screen on, but like that's the one extension thing I use. There's a lot of good ones, though. Should play around with that some more. I need to learn. I really want to make the audio quality of this podcast better. That's like when we get back, that's one of my little projects. I need to get some proper local recording going again. I don't want to do that double ender crap where we all record our own end and then somebody splices it together, because that just takes way too long.
But, and also, you said you want to make the quality better, because that's just a train wreck.
It is, yeah. Like, unless you really know what you're doing, and I don't have the time or the inclination to do that. I'm trying to think. I'll have to look and see what other fun extensions they have. I'm not putting a pirate hat on, though. Sorry, Jerry. But I want to sound better.
Have a space helmet.
I feel bad as we talk about all this Android Auto stuff and how awesome it is, and then our podcast kind of sounds like crap in the car. It's okay when you're listening on a speaker somewhere, but not in the car. Anyway, I'm going to work on that. What we got going on? I guess we need to preview Google I/O, since actually, let's just, here's what's going on next week. I'm heading out on Tuesday, and I'm going straight from the airport up to Petaluma to go to the All About Android show at from, which is very exciting, from the Twit Brick House. I think it was, when was I there? In November? So, ooh, somebody's calling me on Skype. So that's Tuesday night, so absolutely tune in for that. That's 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock West Coast.
I'm bummed I didn't get to go.
I know. Jason
so
was like,
Ron and Jason, I'm really sorry. Invite me again next year, please. I will make sure that the arrangements can be made.
Definitely. So that's going on Tuesday. Wednesday is kind of a dead day because everybody's arriving and registering and stuff. And then it all starts on Thursday with the keynote, right? I need to go back and look at the agenda and stuff some more, and Jerry needs to tell me what sessions I need to go see and stuff. I've got some other meetings.
There is one, regardless of what Jerry says,
yes.
That you're going to go to. It's the one that's all about notifications and
yes.
And Android.
What is that star?
Just so that you could stand outside of the like the doorway and just yell boo as loud as you can.
Dude, I almost doodled a little Phil on my list shaking his
I'd be
as
like,
soon as I saw that session, I knew.
No,
that
was... No. It'd be like the Princess Bride during the wedding scene. With
yes.
Boo! Oh, that goes on the little soundboard right there. Sorry. My apologies to everyone at home. Not really. Not sorry. Not sorry at all. So today, being Friday, we finally... and this was my fault it took so long, put up Russell's Google I.O. preview. I always love reading previews from other people because like, I kind of know what we're expecting, but I don't want to be the one to write it. So it's fun reading, you know, when somebody else does it. I think Alex does a really good job with upcoming phones and stuff, and I thought Russell did a really good job with the with the event preview. So let's just kind of flip through it. In fact, I've got it open here in front of me. I mean, the big one is obviously Android M, right? It was kind of a 50-50 thing on whether we thought it was going to happen, you know, another preview or not, right? But Jerry's shaking his head at me already.
I don't think that's the big one.
Yep.
I think Chrome and Android and what's going to happen is the big one.
Okay, well then
Android M is cool too.
Let's just start with M then. I mean, we're expecting, you know, some sort of mention of a new version, right? It will be M.
Right. And I agree with Russell. I don't think we're going to see a huge list of fancy changes that you can see.
Yeah.
That came last time. This is going to be, let's fix all the crap we don't like that happens with L.
Notifications?
Well, for starters.
Well, a lot of manufacturers are fixing that for them by just not including priority notifications in their phones.
Right. Or
which is not a good thing.
They're there, but it's turned off and buried.
But that means that it's not a good thing. The way they've done it, it's open and you can change it how you want. It could be really, really good, but for some reason people aren't doing it, so let's hope they address whatever that is. The memory management still needs tweaked.
Sure.
You know,
I mean, that's something you're always working on, right?
Right. So it's that kind of stuff. I know we're going to see a lot of that kind of stuff.
Probably the most important question with all that is, do you think we're going to actually hear the new nickname, or will they just call it M?
Oh, I think it'll just be M.
I agree.
I think they got a pretty decent amount of hype out of that, and we've already heard like 9 different M related things, including a spectacular email we got about why it should be named Mango.
Yes.
From this lovely Indian man. I think that it's a silly thing that builds up a weird amount of hype that is neither harmful nor beneficial. And it's just a good thing to do. And it's fun.
Yep.
And it's going to be macadamia nut cookies. Screw you, marshmallow people.
No. I'm saying marshmallow. That's my guess. Jerry?
I'm saying MDMA.
Oh, come on.
Really?
If I worked at Google, no, I'm just kidding. I think marshmallow, too.
What do you think, Andrew?
Marshmallow seems logical. So unless they can get like a branding deal with Mentos or something, then I think that marshmallow makes the most sense.
I don't think Mentos is a dessert.
But it's a candy.
Is it a candy? I always think it's like a mint.
I always think it's like
put
a
that in this
experiment.
Yeah.
You see,
for the most part, that's all people think about.
I saw on Reddit this week somebody did a video with, I think it was from Bloodsport, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, yeah.
And the part where the feds are chasing him around, like Thailand or wherever they were. And at the end, he's just like, "Eh." It was a really good Mentos commercial. That was cool. Anyway, yeah, I'm saying Marshmallow. Yeah, we'll get a preview. I mean, God, as much as the pain in the butt, the preview kind of was last year because everyone's like, "Here's what's coming," and then half of it changed. Right?
I mean, I don't think we remember how different the final release of Lollipop was to the initial previews that we got. Even this second preview was still a really, really big mess as far as interface goes, because that wasn't the point of it. But everybody was looking to it as being like, oh my gosh, look at all the new fancy things. But really, it was supposed to be an API set to code right. against.
And then there was that lovely, lovely notification drawer that just worked so well.
I don't even remember what it was.
It was never broken. Tiles didn't get stuck places. It was absolutely not a train wreck.
So
preview.
That'll be interesting, though, because, you know, Lollipop had, or at that time, the L preview had mostly this big focus on all these new APIs to go against. But if we're thinking that M is going to be more of a, you know, polishing up things and things like that, you know, could we be looking at more actual usable interface stuff right off the start? I mean, they're not going to be able to say, here's 5,000 new APIs, because they really shouldn't be doing that this time around.
Right. But they're going to say, they're also not going to go, here's an entire new design language. Right. I mean, we're going to see a little bit more material, but it's going to be basically the same stuff. And like Jerry said, the interesting thing is going to be how that extends into Chrome, I think.
But I think we're going to see, here's 5,000 APIs that aren't new but changed.
Sure.
I think developers are going to have a field day with this. Because, you know, version 1 is always version 1, and version 2 is, and not that, you know, L is version 1 of Android, but it's version 1 of this design. Version 2 is going to fix a lot of it.
I was thinking more about that this week, because go back to what Jerry would say about the Nexus 4. And was it ICS or Jelly Bean that took a little time to grow into itself?
Yeah, Jelly Bean on the Nexus 4 was a wreck.
Yeah. So
that's why we got three versions of Jelly Bean.
Exactly. Right. So we're kind of, you know, back in that phase a little bit, and I don't know. I mean, it was. I had to say it was painful, because I don't, thinking back, like, on the whole, it probably hasn't been that bad. It's just been some little things that were more annoying than others.
Well, Android is a special breed of animal. Phil, I know you know L on the Nexus 6 is a very different experience from L on any other phone, and that's because one is Google's vision, and the other is another company who has a lot of insight into mobile. It's their vision, whether it be Samsung or LG or whoever. The two will get on the same page as things get a little more mature.
I thought you did a really good job, by the way, in that What is Android post you did this past week.
Thanks.
Like, as sort of purposefully confusing as it was, it reiterated what we've said a million times. There's AOSP, and then there's everybody else.
And it gets, to me, it gets really confusing that Google names AOSP Android, and the product they ship on their phones is also Android, when the two are very different.
And it doesn't help when you have all the horror stories about, you know, anytime right. something bad happens, it's Android as a whole, which isn't...
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say isn't necessarily the case, but it's really not the case at all.
And, you know, most people, Android, to them, Android is just their phone. Everything
yeah.
about their phone is just, this is Android. So, and I tried to have a little fun. I hope it wasn't too confusing.
So that was M. Hey, what do you guys think? Remember that, was it Bloomberg or somebody way back in who said that M was going to be an actual embeddable OS for things like cars and... I don't know.
I forget who said
that. Yeah, because they said that Android Auto was going to end up being its own standalone platform and stuff like that.
Part of me is thinking that's just not going to happen, because that very much goes against the idea of having something that is relatively easily upgradable outside of the normal infotainment sphere.
Well, and Android is based on the same type of software ideas that Linux on your desktop computer is. Think of it as Legos. There's that big green Lego piece you have to use, whether you're building the Hoth thing or, you know, Princess Bride or whatever. Other things connect to it. So you have your base system, and you can add or remove things on top of it at will. There's no need for Android Auto or Android Wear or what's on your phone to have a different core component. So I don't think that's going to happen.
So that's true for the big stuff that we have, like tablets and phones and the stuff in the car and the stuff on our wrists. But it's a little less true when we're talking about things like smart lights and the Nest thermostat and smart locks and stuff like that. And we may see a separate direction there.
I hope not. I think those things are best left to just run embeddable Linux as we know it today. If Google wants to spend the time and money to make an embeddable version of Android, I hope they do as good a job on it as what we already have.
Yeah, I mean, so the whole point there for that whole, I hate to say Internet of Things, but that's what we're going to hear it called for forever.
Internet of crap.
Internet. What I've been calling it. There is no unifying thing, and we saw Samsung try and talk about wanting to do a unifying thing, and that nothing has come of that. And I mean, like literally nothing has come from that announcement. And we've seen a couple other companies try and release devices for the home that tie everything together, and none of them have been successful. And if Google goes this route, they've got a pretty decent foothold in a lot of homes already with Nest. So it wouldn't shock me to see them try and go this direction to tie in more stuff to whatever they're using to push Nest further. I could also just be making all of that up.
No, I mean, right now, there is basically your coffee maker and your light bulb could, if the manufacturer chose, be running the same exact software inside with a little bit different interface. If Google wants to tackle that, and they're probably the only company with the resources to do it good enough the first time, that would be really cool. I just want them to do as good a job as what the existing tech would be if everybody would use it. That's the problem. Nobody's using what's out there now, and not everything is compatible. Russell said Samsung wants to do their thing, and other companies want to do their thing. If Google does it, that's going to be cool and fun. I just hope they really, really do a good job.
So compatibility is the important part. I mean, it doesn't necessarily matter if your coffee maker and your light bulb are both running Android. It matters that when that embeddable, you know, whatever embedded operating system they run was made, that it was made with, you know, Google's home products, you know, in mind, and it's meant to hook in, right? I mean, that's the most important part. Not that it actually runs "quote unquote" Android,
right?
Right. Yeah. The light bulb doesn't need to run Android. It just has to be able to talk to something that does.
Right.
A lot of the bigger light bulb groups have pretty open languages for talking to other products.
That's a good point.
Super good at talking to other stuff. So.
And I'm sorry, Russell. Go ahead.
No, I was just
got me excited.
Direction we see. Is it more about an open communication platform and less about everything running Android?
Exactly. It's Philips very well could have said, no, our interface and the way you interact with it is proprietary, and you only can use it with our little hub. But they didn't. You can, I mean, look at all the great third-party stuff out there. And that's how, if we really want this Internet of Things to be things and not the Internet of Crap, everything has to get together. And I don't know who can do it. Maybe it's Google.
Hope so.
Google and Apple need to get together on this. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, there's all this stuff out there, and I'm still completely overwhelmed. I still don't know what to buy. Like, I want to get some cool lights, but I want to know that what I'm seeing, because these things aren't cheap, and I want to know that what I'm spending all this money on is going to work, you know, with everything a year from now, or, you know, even 6 months from now, or even as soon as I get it home.
Hue bulbs are like my favorite thing.
Yeah,
and they actually work really well with your Nest thermostat. There's this really neat thing where you set Nest to away, and if it knows that you're away for a couple of days, it starts doing this thing where it turns on random lights in the home.
Exactly, that's what I want.
To make it feel like there's somebody there, so that like if someone's casing the house, then like they see lights turning on and off, and a couple other really neat things like that. And that's like Hue is by far the most. I don't want to say open. Their APIs are the most friendly to other software.
Agreed. That's the way to go right now. If you're really looking, Phil, is buy those Philips Hue lights.
So we think that this home stuff is actually going to happen this time, because I was there the last time we talked about Android.
Oh, yeah, so was I.
I don't think any of us said that it's really going to happen.
I think that it's likely. I don't think that we're going to see everything. So the problem last time was that they centralized everything around the Nexus Q, and the Nexus Q never happened. I mean, it made it out of the gate and then fell. But when they did that presentation, everything ran through that Nexus Q, the light bulbs, the music, all of that stuff. And so they needed, I think that what they were going for with this, I don't think it's going to be built on a single phone app or a single thing that plugs into to anything else. That's why they were talking more about the embeddable stuff. I think it's going to be way less focused on a single device.
And to be fair, it was way early back then, too.
Yeah.
Just now is the time. I mean, we've the wearable computing, I guess the word I'm looking for, is almost already old news. We've seen it. It's not finished, but we've seen it, and now we're looking for something new. And man, this is the time, and I want somebody to do it right.
And if they don't do it right, Amazon is going to fully launch the Echo, and I will not look back. Because I walked into a friend's house who had Hue bulbs set up and watched him say, "Alexa, turn on my front porch light." And I don't have that in my house right now, and that's a thing I need to live.
It really is good. I can't stress it enough, just how good Alexa, I keep calling it Alexa, how good the Echo is. Okay, so that's home stuff. Let's talk briefly about Android TV. I mean, we've mentioned in this podcast, I don't know how many times, that like Android TV has, there it is behind me, that, you know, it's basically been here for, what, 6-8 months now, and hasn't changed a whole lot since we got it. We know NVIDIA's new stuff, which has been announced, is still waiting in the wings. It hasn't started shipping or anything yet. So I would imagine we get something more along that front. Are you expecting anything radically different, though? I mean, because we've seen, like, NVIDIA's had all this streaming stuff, and I've used it, and it's cool, but unless you're a hardcore gamer, like, and we're talking
really
pretty
expensive PC in your office or living room.
Like, I have absolutely no
I feel
need
like
to get any of that.
For me, the big thing that's missing from Android TV right now is HDMI pass-through, and that's because I use it constantly on my Xbox One. And
what
as a
is
result,
it for people?
So I have an HDMI cable that comes from my cable box, which in this case is my TiVo, through the Xbox into the television. So from my Xbox interface is my television interface. When I turn on my television, I say Xbox Watch TV, and it flips over to the television. Basically, the television becomes an app on the Xbox platform, but because I have that voice platform that I can work from, that's what I use for most of like Netflix and Hulu and all that stuff, because it's all already right there. I only flip to my Chromecast or something like that if it's like YouTube or something that I can do quickly, or if I'm not already using the Xbox.
Will it kick over if you're using a tuner as well?
Yeah. So it's even set up for antennas, where you can have it set up, and it can take that video feed and bounce it to my tablet through the Xbox Smart Glass app. So I mean, I can watch live television through the Xbox, and those are all things that I feel like Android TV should be perfectly capable of. But none of the hardware that's out yet, even the NVIDIA one, which is really really nice for gamers. No HDMI pass through yet, so
it's not. It's just not on the hardware level of what an Xbox One has in it, or PS4.
Right.
Google tried that with Google TV, and the content providers shut them down and killed the entire platform.
Well, but that had a lot more to do with the way that they were approaching. They've solved all of those problems already.
I understand it was Google's fault for doing it the way they did, but I think that might have them a little bit gun shy.
Yeah, I could see that.
The other areas first.
I mean, I just see the way that they have Android TV positioned right now is very much, okay, this should be, whether it's, running on your TV or in a separate box, this should be the one thing that you're in. And every time that they talk about Android TV, it's very much like, okay, you don't have cable, so we're just going to give you all the content we possibly can through this one box, and we're going to forget about the fact that you have other things, because like Jerry said, they tried doing pass-through and they did it really badly, and then you know, in the grand scheme of things, and I don't know if they're going to try it again.
I hope they do, because they've solved all of the things that they had problems with last time. The problems that they had last time had nothing to do with the pass-through. It had everything to do with them trying to use the web as workarounds for all of these streaming services. And, you know, they've solved that problem. We have all of the apps on Android TV already for all of the stuff that's exciting. And Chromecast has been, Google Cast is a proven platform now that these partners aren't going to back away from.
I think the most that we could see out of that, well, of course, this means they would have to start, I don't know about mandating, but strongly encouraging that hardware makers, you know, have the dual HDMI ports to do pass-through. But I think the most that we could see is there's just a tile on the Android TV start screen that just says, you know, watch TV.
Which is a good start.
Yeah. Right, it doesn't have to do this big overlay and everything like that like the Xbox One does. Of course, that would be a big hardware limitation to be able to handle that. But just, you know, the quick switching back and forth so that you don't have to feel like you're making a choice, I'm going to use Android TV now or I'm going to watch my cable box now, would be really nice.
You know what I want to see from Android TV? We'll go back to that home automation stuff and how they tried to use the Nexus Q as a like proprietary hub. I want to see Android TV use the web and be the hub where you can grab your remote and turn your lights on by voice.
Yeah.
Or when you start a movie and it dims the lights in your theater or whatever.
And that's wide open, and Google can do it if anybody can do it.
The hardware is there. There's no good reason for it not to exist.
And we got to get more content in there. Like I want to be able to turn around here in my office and like flip on CNN or something and have some actual like content that I know is fresh. I know Bloomberg has some sort of live stuff on there, but I don't get the feeling that it's live. It for some reason it still feels canned to me. I don't know if that's the source or are we in I'm not talking bad about Bloomberg there. Like something about it just doesn't feel the same.
What it's going to come down to there, which is very interesting, that they keep pushing, they're going to have to explain how they're going to handle the difference between Chromecast, the device, Google Cast, the protocol, and Android TV, which happens to be Google Cast compliant. Because right now they're talking about all these content deals and they say, you know, okay, there's the the CBS app and the ABC and the FX Now and Fox Now and there's MLB TV. Okay, we're making all these deals for Chromecast. Well, why aren't you making those same exact deals for the app to run on Android TV as well? And you can get more of these live content options right now, because it's very much hidden, the fact that you can, you know, pull up an MLB TV app on your phone, cast it to your Android TV, but maybe you won't get that same content option if you launch the MLB TV app on the device itself.
Right.
Well, there's a reason those require different licensing agreements, because let's use the Chromecast stick as an example. There's no interface for you to copy a baseball game, period.
Sure.
With an Android TV, I'm sure somebody will figure out a way to capture the little bits and bytes that are flying through the HDMI cable and capture it and record the content. So, you know, I'm not saying that people are going to do it, but the possibility is there. So that's going to require a separate licensing deal.
I just mean that Google needs to clarify what's going on, because right now it seems very much like, and I'm sure the situation is very much like this, that there are separate silos. You have people working on content deals just to get that Chromecast button put into these media apps that are on Google Play for your phone and tablet, and it's a completely separate group of people trying to get Android TV versions of those apps put up there for the Android TV to run natively.
Right now, projects like Android TV need content from Major League Baseball.
Absolutely do. Like, give me all the hardcore hardware you want, but if there's nothing to run on it.
Well, and didn't we just see, what is the Sling Cloud Player thing that Sling TV, I think. Know so much about? that puts a lot of live content.
Absolutely.
On there, you know, and it's a monthly pay rate thing, but that's, you know, I think that heading in that direction. And you know, it's also, Google's got a ton of stuff happening with YouTube as well that could feel more like, I don't want to say TV channels, but, you know, these kind of constantly playing content silos that don't feel like YouTube. They've got that, what is it, Leanback is their API for that.
Go back to like Coachella every year, which I think is, you know, excellent, excellent streaming. So the opportunity is absolutely there.
Well, and you can think about having it all in one place and the way that Google Play can manage your billing and your subscriptions and everything like that already. It would be really nice to have that as well. You know, Russell was saying that Sling TV does a monthly subscription. I think CBS has $5 a month subscription as well. MLB TV is like a per season rate that you pay a couple hundred bucks for or whatever. But, you know, Google Play could manage all those subscriptions, because right now you're getting to this point where it's really annoying to manage, say you have Netflix, Hulu, a season, you know, some kind of season pass for a series, and you have MLB TV, which is on a different billing schedule. You know, some way for Google to manage all those for you, so you know how much you're paying, you know what content you're getting, and it can all be in one place. I mean, it's a tough problem to solve, but, you know, they could do it.
We got a lot more, but we need to take a quick break. I think when we come back, we'll get into the big one, Chrome and Android. Android and Chrome? Chrome-droid?
Chrome-droid.
Chrome-droid. Be right back. What does it mean when every commercial bank in the Fortune 500 relies on Red Hat for enterprise software? Or that every department in the executive branch of the U.S. government does too? Or how about every airline in the Fortune Global 500? It means that more than 90% of all the companies in the Fortune 500 understand the value that supported enterprise open source software can bring to their business. If the value of open source is the rapid innovation, freedom, and interoperability that comes with community-powered technology, then the value of Red Hat is taking responsibility for that technology, testing it, enhancing security, and certifying that it'll all work in your data center. So what is Red Hat doing that is making such a big difference? Well, it's simple. Simple, but not easy. They make sure that you can get all the benefits of open source without the risk of doing it all yourself. No one else can make that promise, much less keep it. So visit redhat.com to see how they can help your enterprise with application development, storage, and cloud computing. Red Hat, different for the sake of better technology. All right, ChromeDroid.
So, that was, by the way, a spectacular picture. When I saw that this morning, I had seen like far away pictures of it before. I don't think I even knew that that thing had the like red robot eyes.
Oh, I knew it had like the colors. Eyes changed colors.
I knew that the like it had like this undercarriage thing that changed colors, but I didn't know the eyes did too. But that was an amazing picture.
See, it's a well-kept secret that Andrew is a photographer by night trying to get that one picture of Superman.
That was like very much a drive-by thing last year. We swung by. Was that November, Andrew?
End of October, I think.
Yeah, they've still got all the statues moved off Building 44. They're like next to an apartment complex, I think, which was kind of weird.
Yeah, it's like kind of over by like a maintenance area. Yeah. They're kind of just, hey, yeah, they're over here. They're one step away from being in a shed, kind of in a pile.
I hope they move them back, because...
Well, you know, every time we see pictures of Building 44, the grass is always just destroyed.
Oh, it was horrible every time I was there.
All that. So they need to just put in, like, gravel or something and just assume that there's going to be a million people walking around.
They're building a secret underground bunker there. That's why the yard's tore up.
Well, they're putting really biodomes over everything.
So, ChromeDroid. I mean, I feel like we've been talking about this forever.
For years, since the day that they promised this on stage, this will never, ever happen.
Right. Which at which point we kind of knew it was going to happen at some point. Right.
It's a... Google has to... I always hate to use Apple as an example, but all Apple's products, everything works with each other. Mm-hmm. If you buy an Apple TV, you can install apps from the App Store, and if the same content you bought to watch on your iPad, you can watch on your television. Google's going that direction. And they're doing a fine job, but Google is going to try to do the same thing we hear about Apple doing with the way macOS and iOS are kind of merging and twisting. They want to do that with Chrome, and not that anybody's copying anybody. I don't care who had the idea first. It's a natural convergence that just needs to happen. I don't know the best way to do it, but I think the way Google is doing it is exciting, building a little... you know, platform within a platform, so your Android stuff can be on Chrome, seamless and native, and this is going to be cool.
Is it?
Yes.
I mean, so, but it's yes. also, I don't know. I'm way more excited about the technical stuff that comes with this, and I'm sure Jerry is too. But he's explaining it more from a user side. Mm-hmm. I think that the attempt at unification is going to force Google to do some stuff that I've wanted them to do for a while with permissions. Because browsers are funny when it comes to permissions. They're all about giving you access to stuff, but you have to kind of request it individually. So when you take a look at installing an Android app, you have 30 permissions for something. That's never going to work in a web browser because it has to ask it individually, and it has to ask it when you need it.
Right.
You're dealing with a browser. So
which we see now, right? You'll see Chrome today ask, hey, we want to know your location for – usually it's for like an ad or something though, right?
Right. Well, yeah, for like if it wants to know your location for stuff like that, or if it wants to access the camera for like Hangouts that we're doing right now, then it has to ask for that stuff. But it has there are two things to keep in mind. It has to do it individually per application, and it has to do it when it actually needs the stuff. And so there's two routes. On Android, they ask for it all up front, and you can't do that on the browser.
Well, they don't even ask for it. They declare it.
Right, they declare it. And so in order to unify things, I think we're going to see some permission change behaviors from Google because we're going to have nifty web containers for apps, but they're going to have to behave, they're going to have to feel similar enough between the two platforms that they can be considered the same application.
And we've heard that
made sense.
We've heard rumblings to that effect that the old app ops.
Sorry, the thing that never actually existed, but people feel like it was stolen from them.
Yes. Well, I mean, it existed, but it didn't exist.
It never launched as a feature
and
removed or anything.
It was a way to break all your apps.
If you don't know what it was a selective permissions thing, right? I really don't want to go to the ways of I launch the camera and my phone says, hi, you launched the camera. Would you like to give the camera permission to use the camera?
Right. I mean, that's one of the most annoying parts about the permission system.
This browser can get online. No kidding.
Right. And it's like, are you sure? I know you gave me permission, but I'm just asking you 2 weeks later.
You're just
trying to get directions somewhere and you need to give Google Maps access to GPS. It's like, yes, I do.
Even if it only asks me once, I just need to get over it.
I think what we'll get is what we've got right now, where you go to install an application, and the application says, hey, we need these things, and then you'll have the ability to go in and make changes.
Have like a drop-down right there that lets you pick them?
Would be awesome, but I think we would see something actually in the settings, in the applications menu. Why do you hope not?
Why?
Because for every person like Russell who can manage that and understand that and enjoys that, you're going to have 20,000 people. Why doesn't this work? I only unchecked everything because I didn't want it to see me in my underwear, and now nothing works.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Google is never going to explain it in a friendly enough way to make everybody understand it. I don't know how they're going to fix it. In fact, if I had to guess, I'd say Russell's probably pretty spot on, and I just know the nightmare that can create. Not will create, but it can.
I mean,
anything else
here?
When it comes to Google Chrome, I just want them to clarify their story a little bit more about apps. Not in terms of permissions, but what is their desired pathway here as far as Android apps on Chrome, Chrome extensions, Chrome apps, kind of crazy hybrid? You know how they, you know, Jerry talked about having this like intertwined framework a little bit. I mean, are we talking about things that work together? Are we talking about things that are the same on multiple platforms? You know, is there just sync? Are we looking at the same files on both, you know, mobile and on desktop?
I think if you use Keep as an example right now, Keep is written by Google and controlled by Google. It has a separate desktop experience and a separate mobile experience. But to the user, it's the same. It uses the same back end, and that's because it's controlled by Google.
And that's what I want to see. I want to see an app that makes sense natively to that platform that it's running on.
What Chrome apps on or what Android apps on Chrome can do is allow me, Jerry Note, where it's a note-taking app and it's for Android, and I can have a version for Chrome that uses the same back end that I've already invested in, gives the user the same interface, and now my app can communicate between your desktop at work or your laptop if you're working on a Saturday, or your phone if you're out. If you need something, it's right there. It's everywhere through the same back end that I already have without any more investment from me. I don't know how popular this is going to be. I'm excited for it because of the possibilities, but it's all going to depend on how developers embrace it.
And I mean, that's go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I really hope that, I know the big guys are, we've already seen, who is it? Evernote is already there. But I want to see that guy down the street who wrote a really, really cool app. I want to see him get his in the Chrome store too. I want to see his little calendar app that has this one great feature that I really love. I want to be able to see those kind of apps in the Chrome store as well. And if that happens, I think this is going to be really big, bigger than we expect.
I mean, that's the current issue, though, that we're dealing with. There are already tools to make really cool Chrome apps that are standalone, and they run on a Chromebook. They're not just an extension. They're not just a windowed web browser. And there are already very few people doing that.
They also require some pretty significant knowledge in HTML5 development, and as cool as HTML5 is, it's a pretty different set of resources between Android app development and web development when it comes to things like HTML5, especially since we're not just talking about building a Chrome web app at this point. We're talking about building a Chrome web app that also follows the material design guidelines, that is also HTML5 compliant, that also, you know, when you start stacking these things on top of one another, it really becomes a lot more tedious than it seems. And by being able to toss Google an APK and have Google go, these are the things you need to change in order to have a proper web app, which I'm sure is what the end result for Arc Welder is, we are going to see more like this Hangouts extension that updated for all of us this week.
Kind of just looks like an Android app in two panes.
It does kind of just look like an Android app in two panes, and I'm sure that when I/O happens, that this is going to be one of their big, you know, here's what we talk about, you know, surprise, this is actually an Android app.
Well, and the one word I haven't heard you guys say, but I'm also not paying attention, is Polymer.
Have not mentioned Polymer, but yeah.
I was paying attention.
Not a lot of people have mentioned Polymer at all in the last year.
And it's one of those things, I mean, I can say the word, and that's pretty much where my knowledge of it stops. But, I mean, that's like the glue that's tying all this together, right? As far as design goes. Yeah, you know, design,
yes,
it's material design guidelines for the web.
Right, it's tools for...
But more than just like, pure design.
Right, our tech guys will probably use Polymer and we don't even know. I mean, that's tools for that kind of development. But it doesn't have a whole lot to do with Android development itself. But now that we have apps that are running on all of Google's platforms, they're going to need to look and act the same, even if you choose not to use an actual Android app for your Chrome app. And Polymer is the tool set, I guess is what I'm saying, that can make your app look and feel the same on both platforms. I use the word app loosely. It could be a website, it could be a back-end thing, but that's what Polymer does. But still, what Android apps on Chrome do is you don't need to worry about Polymer. You don't need to know how to set up a separate database for web users that can also interact with the database for your Android users. Or you don't need to know how to write good CSS that doesn't bog down. You just submit your app to Google's engine, and it tells you what you'll need to change for best performance. Bam, you do it, and you're done with no further investment.
Android Wear and Android Auto. I mean, Wear just got a pretty significant update to 5.1.1.
You did.
I did.
I'm checking on my Moto 360 again right now.
Us Moto 360 peasants get to sit here and wonder what it's like to have software updates.
360 is kind of a special deal, though. I mean, for as much as that was Google's watch.
Your system is up to date.
You know,
yeah, I mean, the hardware is a little different, and things are going to play a little differently. And we kind of expected it to be a little later, but it's bothering me more than most software update rollouts. Because there's some neat stuff in 5.1.1 for Android Wear that really I think will help usability quite a bit.
By the way, I saw some posts today about apparently the G-Watch R getting Wi-Fi later this summer in the third quarter or whatever. It's like, what have we been saying? We kind of knew that. I mean, just got to go back through the FCC if you want to turn Wi-Fi on. So, yeah, that was not going to happen this week. I mean, not until we see that sort of process run its course. Yeah, I mean, you expecting any other, like, big watch features coming down the pike?
I think instead we're going to see a lot more explanation as to why the always-on stuff matters. Because not a whole lot of Android Wear apps have updated to take advantage of the fact that you can have stuff happening in that ambient mode.
Yep.
So that the activities, I think we're going to get more detailed explanations as to why that's awesome and how it could be better used.
I tried Maps for the first time today in that.
Oh, God.
Andrew's not a fan, I think.
No.
Why not?
Tell your story, Phil.
No, I was just going to say I tried it, and I was driving at the time, and it turned on. It's like, okay, I can see like exactly where I am in this tiny little hole. And not, like, I,
so wait.
Yeah.
You were driving, which means your phone was connected to Android Auto.
Yes.
And you had GPS running on Android Auto, and knowing that GPS was running on Android Auto, it put it on your watch as well?
It's always done that, yeah. It still kicks the notifications over for navigation, which is actually kind of cool. Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing is it still relies on going back to the phone. I mean, so Google Maps on Android Wear is just a little tiny view of the map that you can pinch and zoom on, and you can zoom around, and you can tap to get nearby locations, so you can just see what's near, and then if it's a popular place that you want to go to, you can get navigation. But as soon as you hit that navigation button, it pulls it open on the phone, which then routes the navigation, and then your watch goes back to just being a notification vessel for the turn-by-turn directions from your phone. So the whole point of having any kind of situation in which you're panning around a map on your watch is kind of insane when all it does in the end result of all that extra work on tiny little screen is that it just goes to the phone and then kicks back to the watch again. It just doesn't make any sense really at all to have, you know, a top-down map on the watch.
It reminded me of the commercials for the new Jurassic Park movie where he's looking down looking down at his watch and like he's tracking the dinosaur.
You're two. That's my biggest issue with it is that yes, it's a quote-unquote standalone maps app, but in order to do anything it still has to kick it back to the phone to get the information and process it all and then kick it back to the watch again to just give you, you know, turn-by-turn directions.
You know what's going to happen now? We're going to get an email. Somebody's probably in the chat now in the Q&A saying, look, I use Google Maps on the toilet all the time. Sorry. Right. If you haven't heard a couple podcasts ago.
So it's like, this is, it's all blown out, of course, because my brightness. You just, I mean, it is what you think it is. It's just a top-down map of your watch's location, which, of course, is tied to your phone's location.
Right.
And then if you need to do anything, it needs data from the phone anyway. So it's cool, I guess, and it shows like what the watch can do or render on the front, and it does like this black and white always on mode when your phone goes to, or your watch goes to sleep. But okay, you know, like what are you showing me that you couldn't have done just with a scrolling list of nearby restaurants, or, you know, without all the map stuff, or the fact that you can already say, you know, lift up your wrist and say, navigate me to, you know, Applebee's or whatever.
I don't need the map. Like, tell me how to get there. I don't need to see it.
Exactly. And you can already do that. And you can already do that on the old version of Android Wear as well. You could say navigate to, you know, a specific address. You know, this, you can't even do that. You can't tap on the screen to get points of interest or anything like that. So it's really, like, this is the biggest example of, like, a parlor trick app on your wrist.
Not to, you know, harp on Google Maps too much, but,
well,
yes, Jerry. And I didn't want to get on just, like, one app here.
Right, and that's where I'm going, too. This is, we don't like the way it works with Maps. but it's still very cool the way it, especially in Phil's case, it can send to Android Auto and to his watch all at the same time. And if you wanted to pick up your phone, I imagine your phone can still do some of this stuff too.
Yeah, actually, when you get a phone call, it still pings your wrist as well.
I don't want somebody looking at their watch and pinching and zooming while they're driving, because that's going to kill somebody's kids.
Right. They can have all of the craziest thing about it is that before this standalone app came, all this Maps functionality was already there, and it was still linked to the phone just like it is now. It's just you have this interface now that doesn't do anything extra.
You know what? Take this a step further. Phil's listening to the best of the Rolling Stones while he's driving around on Android Auto. It's streaming through Google Play Music on his phone. Excuse me. His watch can fast forward tracks or pause and play without having to reach and touch the dash unit. That's the good of this kind of thing.
Of course,
your watch as a remote for some instances can be very, very handy.
And it's already
Maps,
useful.
Maybe not so much.
Well, I mean, even on Maps, the fact that you get your next turn and, you know, your information there, that's all useful. You just don't need these full watch face size, you know, manipulate the thing on your wrist. It's very much like, give me three buttons for, you know,
it's kind of going down that slippery slope of okay, it's time to do everything on the watch now. And that's...
That's where choice comes in. I just ordered a refurbished Pebble because I'm just tired of so much going on. Pebble fit me very well because by default it doesn't do a lot of stuff. If you want it to do something, you have to make it do it. And I don't want my watch to do all this stuff. But people listening, you do want your watch to do, you know, maybe you love Maps on your watch. Now you have a choice where you can do that. And I think that's the best part of it all is all these companies are giving us something that's different enough where it can trigger, you know, hopefully what's right for you.
Android Auto, I don't know what I would expect to hear. Maybe some sort of preview of you know, changes. But for me, it's so simple. It's really well done. The only thing I would change, and I get why they do this, is in the music apps. Specifically Google Play Music, you can't, you know, just browse by artist. And it can make it kind of difficult, actually, if you don't necessarily know what you want to listen to. I ran into something yesterday where I was trying to use voice to play some Ministry. And if anyone from the 90s remembers the Psalm 69 record, you know that Psalm 69 isn't actually the title of it. And so it couldn't find it. I was able to somehow, I forget how I got to it on Spotify. That worked. But I would like to see, you know, some changes in there, but that's an app thing, really. That's not a platform thing. I think they've done really well out of the box. If they, you know, it needs to be tightened up some. I think there are times it's a little slow to launch, and you know, but that's, you know, window dressing at that point. People have been asking about wireless Android Auto, and I just don't see that happening yet for a number of reasons. I like the fact that they, you know, not entirely, but they pretty much lock it down. I've got a post I'm going to run in a couple days on somebody who's asking about the cable you use and does it need a special cable. I said, no, it doesn't need a special cable. And actually, I'm using like a 6-inch micro USB cable that makes me leave my phone in my cup holder. And that just makes me even less tempted to try to pick it up and, you know, mess with it. And you can dump out of the Android Auto splash screen. It's sort of like a lock screen. It's not tough to get out of. I've purposefully, you know, not said, here's how to do it, because you shouldn't do it. But it's not impossible. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe just tighten it up a little bit. I'm really curious to see what they say about it. And hopefully they'll announce that it's coming to more cars, and I really want them to say that BMW is going to get it, because I really want a BMW here in a few years if I don't get a Tesla Mark III. That was my thing.
Tesla.
Mm-hmm. I said Mark III, I meant Model 3. I'm saving.
You said Mark III, and I thought about Iron Man.
I want a single DIN unit. I want a single DIN unit. Some OEM make one with a flip-out screen, because while Phil's dream car is a Tesla, mine is a 77 Corvette, and they do not have double-DIN stereos. My Jeep doesn't have a double-DIN stereo slot. It has 1.5, and none of these units will fit. And I've seen plenty of smart car sound systems that have flip-out screens and fit in a single DIN slot. Somebody make one, and I will buy it. Even if I have to use Phil's money, I will buy it.
That's more like a CES sort of announcement, though.
I know, but...
Well, we'll probably get some product partners coming from I.O. Yeah.
Russell's last page. Android Pay, yes. Or / Samsung Pay, maybe?
I like Samsung Pay way better based on what I know so far, but that means that I don't know a whole lot about Android Pay yet.
I like Google Wallet the way they had first released it. Too bad that it didn't work, because it was just less complicated.
This whole pay thing is, like, I'm just...
We're getting nuts.
Google Now looks smarter, sure. Hangouts update, sure. Photos. We didn't talk about photos. It's going to get split out of Google Plus. I mean, I think everybody kind of sees that coming, right?
It's the end of Google Plus. I don't know if anybody told you. Google Plus is over.
Not again! Yeah. Oh, no!
I think somebody said, ComScore published stuff today, said it was the second most popular of the social networks on desktop usage. It's totally
more
down.
And more on kid-focused Android apps, and not just a section of the store, but they're revamping. If you're at all involved with the Google Developer Console, you've seen the announcements and all that stuff. So they're kind of redoing how that's handled. And that's great. I think that's really good. And hopefully
their ad restrictions, according to the Developer Console, make me insanely happy as a parent. They are cracking down hard.
Next, let's do something about YouTube. And my kids were watching something the other day.
Are you not? Wow, English. Could you not get them to use YouTube Kids?
I need to try that. Right now, I've just got it locked down. I don't think I've put YouTube Kids on her phone, now that I think about it.
I've got all my little ones using YouTube Kids, and they adore it.
I'm going to have to do that. I've got it locked down to, you know, whatever the content things you can do within a Google Apps account. But no, that's a good idea. I need to do that. Google Cardboard. I saw somebody wrote something the other day about all this non-cardboard cardboard stuff, but they've already announced all that. I agree. I think they're going to do more on it. But yeah, I mean, we've also seen all these other partners, right?
Somebody make a good one that fits the Nexus 6.
Yeah.
I wrote something about one that fits the Nexus 6 not a week ago.
Yeah, but I didn't like that one. I want a big one. I don't want one like that. I want a big cardboard one, man.
Fine. So that's, you know, Google I.O. in a nutshell, what we think is coming. It starts Thursday. Keynote is Thursday morning. I think it's 9 o'clock West Coast time. So join us. Jerry and I will be there. We'll be live blogging androidcentral.com/Google-IO. What else on that front?
I'm going to be live blogging a series of naps that Andrew and I are going to be taking while Jerry and Phil are at Google I.O.
Oh.
It's going
to
be great.
You guys are going to have so much work to do while we're running around. Real quick, where is it? Monday, I was in New York City.
Yeah.
That was just this week. So this is the Asus Zenfone 2. Not an awful $300 unlocked device. I don't think I've got it turned on right now.
Yeah, it's actually really, really, it outperforms for sure its price tag. The hardware doesn't necessarily outdo its price tag, but the performance is good, very good.
Yeah, it's really good for the price. It's probably, you know, I wouldn't go buy it if I have a G4 sit next to me and can afford a G4, but yeah.
But it's 2 years ago, we had a discussion. The Moto G is going to make changes in the next couple of years. All these OEMs are going to have great phones that are $200-$300, and we see it.
Yep.
And, I mean, I agree. There are two this year that really struck out to me, and one is the Zenfone 2. The other one is that phone from Alcatel. Mm-hmm. These are phones that are great, guys. There are very few compromises to buy these phones, and they're only $300.
Yeah, it's... it's almost to the point where I have a hard time recommending something else unless, like, you really want a G4 or you really want a GS6, you know, for a half or in the case of the GS6, a third of the price. You get a pretty good phone.
Comparing to the Moto G, the lower-end Zenfone is $199.
Yep.
I mean, and it still has 2 gigs of RAM, very, very capable processor, good screen, pretty good camera. I mean... That's Moto G territory, obviously.
Right.
And it blows everything else that's not the Moto G out of the water at that price.
And I don't care. I mean, Verizon and Sprint notwithstanding, everybody listening, you buy one of these phones and you no longer are tied to your particular carrier. You can use cheaper services. There are a lot of benefits for this happening to the industry, even if the Galaxy S6s and the G4s never see a price drop. A lot of other good things are happening here.
Right. And the biggest thing with, I mean, the Zenfone just reminds us of that, is that, you know, this is the strategy from the start for Asus on this. Like, they're coming out of the gate, $199, $299 unlocked in the U.S., and that's their strategy. It's not like it's an afterthought.
Right, and this is, I mean, OnePlus tried to do this. They just don't have the scale, but a company like Asus has the scale. You know, hopefully others will follow suit. I'd love to see Samsung release a good phone that's $300. You know, not a mediocre phone, but a really good phone for $300.
Yeah, I mean, we just saw LG, you know, try to ride the G4 branding with a couple new cheap devices that are like, you know, you're going to be talking about this $200, $300, you know, $350 price range, and they're not high-end devices at all. They're not even mid-range devices.
Yep.
You know, you're talking about 5.5-inch QHD or 720p screens and, you know, 1 gig of RAM and eight gigs of storage kind of stuff. Meanwhile, Asus is making really nice stuff for $300 because they don't have that $700 phone that they're trying to upsell to. You know, this is the phone.
Let's do some Q&A, then we'll get out of here. Did I forget anything else this week? I feel like I have, but Google I.O., man, that's where it's coming. Oh, hey, by the way, Alex, I had to remember his name. I'm sorry, Alex. Alex will be in Beijing next week with Lenovo. That's going to be interesting. And then they're going to Taipei for Computex after that. So we're spread out to all hell and back next week.
So if you know a good mail bomb in China, Alex might need that number.
Yeah. Sean asks, given the very slow progress of Android Auto since its announcement last year, is it possible that all the work done for it is eventually the groundwork for the inner workings of Google's self-driving car, and that's the actual real goal? No.
Those are two different tracks.
Yeah, Android Auto is really just kind of an interface to get your phone's, you know, information onto your car, and I can't stress enough, I keep asking myself, like, could I really recommend Android Auto? I need to say that at some point, because on one hand, just having Bluetooth makes such a big difference, never mind Android Auto, but the Android Auto interface is just 1,000 times better than the piece of crap that Pioneer has on there.
And it's also, you got to keep in mind when you think about the pace of Android and even Android Wear, Android Auto is going to move at the pace of the auto industry, which is not fast. And we're going to get the same thing from CarPlay. These systems are designed to be in vehicles for many, many years. They are designed to not get a ton in the way of updates. So, you know, what we're seeing from Android Auto is this kind of mirror interface, because that's the only way Google can push effective software updates to this this system and have it stay, you know, kind of current and up to date. So you can't think about it the same way that you think about the rest of Android when it comes to how fast it updates or how fast it develops, because they have to move at the pace of the auto industry.
Yeah, yep. And you think the carrier situation for updates is bad.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. They don't have to necessarily wait because it's all right here on the phone.
Yeah, that's right the point.
Back to the question, as far as Android having anything to do with self-driving cars, if you've ever seen the little box that says application not responding, that's why you know Android has no business running a car.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a very different way of things. A lot of it is not even part of an operating system. It's you know, computerized parts that connect directly to each other. So Android and the self-driving car are probably very, very different animals, I hope.
Where'd it go? I jump questions. Mark asks, I'm thinking of getting a new phone in about a month or two, looking for under $400 on T-Mobile. Right now I'm looking at the Zenfone 2. Should I get one of those or see what OnePlus comes out with?
Get a Zenfone 2.
Yeah, get the Zenfone 2. Somebody's always going to come out with something better, and I would say wait for somebody that doesn't have an invite process.
Right, and
in a couple months it might not even be $299 still.
Yeah.
And remember, no matter how great whatever OnePlus gives you, as a company, they don't have the scale. You may not even ever be able to buy it. So I would hate to tell you to wait for that.
Ryan Saldana, any Android at Home predictions for I/O? OK Google, Open My Garage? I mean, we talked about Android at Home earlier, but something like that, like Open My Garage, that's something you could do now if they really.
Yeah, I'd like to see Sundar come out and say, "Okay, first load up Tasker on your phone, right?"
Right. And then com.google.garageDoorOpener has force quit, and then now you're parking in
your garage door is stuck open. Davin wants to know if we think we're going to see an actual like Google Internet of Things hub, sort of like they were. Yeah, you think so?
I hope that it's an inexpensive dongle that plugs into my Ethernet connector on my router. I hope for nothing else.
And just has like a microphone built into it?
No. I want all that to happen through my phone.
No, it's not first gen. Yeah. I just want it to be on the Wi-Fi network.
Network layer communication system. That's it. I want
Tomer asks, do you think Google has plans for I/O that will focus on Google Fit? We haven't really talked about that. I need to check and see if my Withings scale actually talks to Google Fit yet. Because I saw that demo when they did the Nexus launch in New York, and like they showed it to me, and I don't know if it works yet. Check. I don't know. I'm sure they'll say something, right? That's all kind of API stuff. So,
if Withings wants it to, it can.
It can. I've seen it. Yep. Somebody stood right there, and I saw it. You know, the scale talked to the phone. I need to see if that works. It's been a while. Which means I have to weigh myself. Ashish, I think I got that right. Where'd my screen go? There it is. I was really hoping for a smaller Nexus phone at I/O because the Nexus 6 is just so ginormous, but Russell killed my dreams. Why, Russell? Why?
It's all Russell's fault. You know, Google was going to release it, and then Russell was like, nah.
Here's how this goes. I get, every Monday morning, I sit down with my beverage, and I get a phone call from all of the corporate-level executives at Google, and they go, this is what we're planning on doing this month. Is this cool with you? And I tell them what I think. And honestly, I'm not feeling a Nexus device until October, and so that's what I told them.
Kevin wants to know, is the LG G4 a great buy or what? I'm absolutely going to say yes, especially after Sprint. Just announced that we're going to get it. What was the date they gave us? June 4th?
June 5.
June 5. And the off-contract price is only $600.
Don't say only like that when the Galaxy S6 is like $800.
Right. Well, I mean, I didn't want to imply that $600 is nothing. Was the thing. $600 is not nothing. But it's also not $900 or $1,000.
There are no planets in which the Galaxy S6 is $200 better than the G4. It's just right. That just doesn't happen.
That's
so
kind of what I was implying. Again, not to say that I've got a post ready to go on Tuesday that's I'm going to get so much crap for it. You want to know what it is? I'll tell you now.
You're such an LG fanboy.
It's my reasons why I would buy the G4 over the GS6.
Just take all of that money from G4.
The sad part is you really are going to get grief for that.
I am. Yeah. And I say it right in the post. I think both are great phones. I would not stop anyone from buying either one. But for me, these are the reasons why I would buy one over the other. Yeah.
How dare you have an opinion and write an op-ed piece on your website, Mr.
How dare I do my job? How dare I? WP Network says, Android M will be the first release, especially for 64-bit phones, they're going to turn off 32-bit support. And, you think we're there yet, Jerry?
No. I think it's going to take 10 years for that because you have developers that are never going to update apps, and they don't want the App Store to go from a million apps to 105,000 apps overnight.
Well, and even if he's talking about hardware layer stuff, which I think he might have been, because in an emulator, it doesn't matter what you're running in Android, it's not an emulator. But even from, if we're just talking about the hardware layer, there are still lots of inexpensive 32-bit processors that are going to go in low-end phones, and Google is not going to pass up on that. So no.
Aaron wants to know, expecting any Google Cast for audio news? Actual launch products are still few and far between.
That'd be really cool. I still haven't tried out the LG Cast for audio stuff, and you are a Sonos user.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're the only one among us that is using Google Cast for audio right now. I really want to. I just don't know if the LG ones are the ones that I want to go. But you're right. We don't have enough hardware there. I would love to see more.
As far as using it on Sonos goes, there's really nothing to say. It's just an option there, and it works. And if you have the speakers grouped through the Sonos app, then it will play them as that same group. But I mean, it just works, and it works the way it's supposed to. So,
I think I want LG's soundbar that works with the cast stuff, and then another speaker in my office. That's really all I need. If I have those two things, I thought about getting the Sonos soundbar, but it is crazy go nuts expensive.
Yes, it is. It's very expensive.
I want to see a $19 Bluetooth dongle that plugs into the aux jack on any soundbar or any.
Fine, Jerry. That's a good idea.
Not that cheap, but HTC has that one that I reviewed back when.
Does that still work?
I don't know why it wouldn't.
It's only Bluetooth, right?
Yeah.
It's not the same thing.
Right. Let's see.
Answer Mark's.
Back up
second
top.
From the top. Yeah.
Lossless music support for Google Play Music at I/O, maybe at least a higher bitrate.
I have heard rumors.
Ooh.
Which makes me dance because I am a fan of music. And
Play Music is already one of the higher bit rates, isn't it?
Yes, but and it's still streamed crappy sound in music.
Everybody
man.
Else was high, too.
But the problem is while I want lossless audio, most people don't care, and what they have now sounds really good for most everything.
I just
and that's
want,
where Google has to balance it.
I just want any audio on my Galaxy S6, and I can't because I can't deauthorize any more devices, so that's the more pressing. I know that they're not mutually exclusive, but like that's more the more pressing issue for me.
But I have heard rumors about audio improvement for streaming. Don't know what that means, but somebody might be saying something that we want to hear.
Roy wants to know, any chance for an Anchorman-style brawl between all the Android blogs at Google I.O.? Google could break the internet with a stream of AC versus Droid Life versus Android Police versus Ars Technica, etc.
Look, as much as I really appreciate some of our fellow bloggers, most of the Android bloggers out there are kind of scrawny dudes. Or kind of scrawny
dudes.
Me and
Russell will eat you alive.
That's why my money's on Kellen.
If I would ride on the back of Jerry's motorized amazing mobile, and unfortunately these guys just wouldn't stand a chance. I love some of these guys to death. They are a lot of fun to talk to. They are some scrawny dudes.
They work on the internet. I mean, come on.
Russell at androidcentral.com.
You know, though, I would rather see a drinking contest between us and the
in which
blogs.
You
that's
even
no, I would not want to do that because you know who drinks probably an unhealthy amount.
Is I could give you names.
Well, yeah. Where do we begin?
I mean, we'll start with ours, I guess. But
I would not drink against
O-U-R-S.
I would not drink against Artem at all. Not even once.
I would.
I have seen that dude's liquor cabinet. You could not pay me. I would lose.
This would be epic. Artem, find me. Fine.
I can't tell stories. I could totally tell stories. that escalated quickly. Google will talk about Project Volta again. What happened with that? You know one app that uses the Project Volta API, asks Brain. I don't know. I mean, name the APIs used in any app.
Volta is used in a lot of stuff. It's not something that gets publicized. It's not a public-facing feature. It's not a user-land thing.
The problem was Google put a cute project name on it, and suddenly it's a thing.
Anything that uses the new garbage collection is using part of Project Volta. So most of your new apps are using it, yes. It's not one API that you just check a box and say magic battery stuff happens now. Right. It's all kinds of things. Phil nails it. Google made the mistake of putting a cutesy name on it that people expect to see some result from this, you know, amazing thing.
Want to know how many apps are using it? The same number of apps that are using Project Butter and Project Svelte.
Project. Yeah. As she says, Russell didn't mention the new photo app, goodness expected I.O. Any specific reasons or just too small for an update in the post? I think we just kind of forgot it, right?
I don't know anything about it. I mean, sure, there's going to be a photo app. Whatever that means. It could be that Photos doesn't get installed automatically when you install Google Plus.
That's the only thing I want. I want it to be just a separate app.
Yeah.
That it doesn't get completely linked. I mean, right now you have the Photos app on your phone and it's just the Google Plus app in the Photos pane.
Right. So, I mean, I didn't write anything about it because I know absolutely nothing about it, and speculating on nothing is not my favorite thing to do.
All I know is as soon as Russell said it may mean that the Photos app isn't instantly installed on your phone, I clicked Andrew's thumbnail because I was waiting for that.
it's a problem. It's a problem. Every single phone is required to ship, if it has Google services, it has to ship with Google Plus, which means it has to include the Photos app, which means every single phone has to have two gallery apps now, and it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's really bad user experience.
Very bad.
Open up when you. I just lose you guys. You still there?
No, nope. You're back now.
Hey, Ben mentioned something we didn't talk about at all. Adobe has a bunch of apps in beta right now. Mix, brush, shape, and color. So yeah, you can go play with those in beta and give them feedback if you want.
And they're removing the old Photoshop Touch from the Play Store.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Very good point. Go sign up for those in Google Plus. Again, folks, beta. I know beta doesn't mean what it used to mean. But
the hyperlapse beta people, why doesn't it run on my phone? Well, because it wasn't made to work on your phone.
And you agreed to that
when you signed up for the beta.
It kills me to see these betas hosted everywhere else, too. That's so disrespectful to developers, I think.
Yeah.
Brian, let's know, do you think the Nexus 4 will get Android M? I think we're all saying no on that, right?
No. Yeah.
It struggles on Lollipop a little bit.
Yeah, I wasn't sure they would even want to put L on it. And after seeing it, maybe that wasn't a wise idea.
I mean, it runs, you get a good impression that it runs really well at first when you just flash Lollipop on a Nexus 4 and you use it. You're like, oh yeah, that's pretty quick. But if you were to use it for a week, you realize that it can't multitask very well and it gets overrun by all the extra stuff that Lollipop needs to do. So I think M would be pushing the envelope.
Anything else? I'm flipping through. If you guys see anything you want us to absolutely talk about. Are we doing any after events? I don't know. I'm old.
Maybe a drinking contest if we can find artists.
I'll be in bed. Because I'll probably be up at 4 a.m.
Dude, I am an athlete that has been training for this contest my entire life.
I'm telling you, my money's on Kellen.
I think Andrew has a great question and a great name. He says, given Google's now got Project Fi as a testbed with less carrier barriers to work through, do you think that will be where projects like Project Aura make their first public releases in the future?
Oh, not a bad idea.
Yep.
That makes complete sense to me.
You know, I would be down
with an Aura device on Fi.
I expect to hear a lot about Project Fi next week.
I didn't say anything about that during the preview, not Fi, but ATAP has another separate session that's going to be streamed, and I'm going to like camp out and have popcorn, because I don't know if anybody remembers the Aura presentation from last year, but it was so good. They demonstrated so many really incredible things, a lot of which came to fruition like weeks later. Which is not something we see a lot of, and so I'm looking forward to...
Tell everybody what ATAP is.
Oh, right, the Advanced Technologies and Products Division that Google bought from Motorola before they sold Motorola to Lenovo. They are the guys who are responsible for the Motorola Spotlight stories. If you've ever used the Windy Day demo in Google Cardboard, that was made by the ATAP guys. Project Aura is an ATAP project.
Project Tango.
In other words,
Project Tango.
Only do cool stuff, 40
right.
hours a week, only have fun.
Cool 3D imagery and mapping and all kinds of using your phone for non-standard stuff.
Very, very cool stuff, and that is definitely going to be one to watch if you are watching from home. Yep. I will absolutely be watching that and talking about it.
And actually, that's something worth stressing. As much as you need to only have your browser tuned to Android Central next week, and only Android Central, they are streaming a whole bunch of these sessions, and it's pretty awesome to see. It's pretty awesome that they do that. They don't have to do that. And just can't say enough how cool that is.
And, they stream them really, really well.
Yeah, yeah. It's
the
not
the
like
quality is always amazing.
Yeah. Definitely hit that up. Okay, I think it's going to do it. We're going long, we're going wide. a lot to do before next week, so we will stick a fork in it now.
Hooray.
Forked.
Bye.
Forked. As we are brought every as we say English every week tough in English, as we are also brought to you by shopandroid.com. Go buy things. I don't think we have any G4 stuff in, but then again, you can't buy the G4 yet. Plenty more Galaxy S. I'm breaking down. I'm buying a GS6 case because Dan Rubino had one on his last week, and I think I need one.
For the Edge?
Dan Rubino had one because it would burn him.
No, that's not true.
I've got Pelican cases for the GS6 right now that,
really?
You know, so yeah. I can spike it onto concrete and it's not a problem kind of thing.
Please don't do that.
I need something light and thin for the
GS6 Edge. So not a Pelican case.
Not a Pelican case. Really, I think the Samsung wrap cases that are just like on the corners.
Yeah, those are very probably nice. The hard direction plastic I'm going to go.
Yeah, that was actually really what Dan had. It was a really, like, really thin case, but it made it a lot easier to hold. So,
meanwhile, I think I'm going to buy one of those Skrillex cases for my
GS6. Man, we didn't mention that at all.
Those things I'm okay with that.
$40.
Maybe they'll give you one at I.O.
Yikes.
I know you were hoping for a Chromebook Pixel, but how about a Skrillex case for your Nexus 6? Okay,
negative.
Bye.
Negative. Negative. All right, that's it. We're out of here. We will definitely do a podcast some point next week. I got to find, maybe we can grab somebody in San Francisco, Jerry, to come do one with us. That'd be fun.
Yep. We have to.
We won't make it a drinking contest. We'll probably do it late Thursday night, San Francisco time. So look for it Friday, I guess. And with that, Jerry, Andrew, Russell, thank you. Alex is resting up. Thank him for doing his thing. See you next week from San Francisco, Google I.O.
Bye-bye.
Adios.